Chapter 9. How to Use the Will. To begin getting rich in a scientific way, you do not try to apply your willpower to anything outside of yourself. You have no right to do so anyway. It is wrong to apply your will to other men and women in order to get them to do what you wish done. It is as frequently wrong to coerce people by mental power as it is to coerce them by physical power. If compelling people by physical force to do things for you reduces them to slavery, compelling them by mental means accomplishes exactly the same thing. The only difference is in methods. If taking things from people by physical force is robbery, then taking things by mental force is robbery also. There is no difference in principle. You have no right to use your willpower upon another person, even for their own good, for you do not know what is for their good. The science of getting rich does not require you to apply power or force to any other person in any way whatsoever. There is not the slightest necessity for doing so. In fact, any attempt to use your will upon others will only tend to defeat your purposes. You do not need to apply your will to things in order to compel them to come to you. That would simply be trying to coerce God and would be foolish and useless as well as irreverent. You do not have to compel God to give you good things any more than you have to use your willpower to make the sun rise. You do not have to use your willpower to conquer an unfriendly deity or to make stubborn and rebellious forces do your bidding. Substance is friendly to you and is actually more anxious to give you what you want than you are to get it. To get rich, you need only to use your willpower upon yourself. When you know what to think and do, then you must use your will to compel yourself to think and do the right things. That is the legitimate use of will in getting what you want, to use it in holding yourself to the right course. Apply your will to keep yourself thinking and acting in the certain way. Do not try to project your will or your thoughts or your mind out into space to act on things or people. Keep your mind at home. It can accomplish more there than elsewhere. Use your mind to form a mental image of what you want, and to hold that vision with faith and purpose. Use your will to keep your mind working in the right way. The more steady and continuous your faith and purpose, the more quickly you will get rich, because you will make only positive impressions upon substance, and you will not neutralize or offset them by negative impressions. The picture of your desires, held with faith and purpose, is taken up by the formless and permeates it to great distances throughout the universe for all I know. As this impression spreads, all things are set moving toward its realization. Every living thing, every inanimate object, and the things yet uncreated are stirred towards bringing into being that which you want. All force begins to be exerted in that direction. All things begin to move toward you. The minds of people everywhere are influenced towards bringing the things necessary to the fulfilling of your desires, and they work for you unconsciously. But you can suspend all this by starting a negative impression in the formless substance. Doubt or unbelief is as certain to start a movement away from you as faith and purpose are to start one toward you. It is by not understanding this that most people who try to make use of mental science in getting rich make their failure. Every hour and moment you spend in giving heed to doubts and fears, every hour you spend in worry, every hour in which your soul is possessed by unbelief, sets a current away from you in the whole domain of intelligent substance. Since belief is extremely important, it behooves you to be conscious of your thoughts, and as your beliefs will be shaped to a very great extent by the things you observe and think about, it is important that you should be conscious of where you fix your attention. And here the will comes into use, for it is by your will that you determine upon what things your attention will be fixed. If you want to become rich, you must not make a study of poverty. Things are not brought into being by thinking about their opposites. Health is never attained by studying disease and thinking about disease. Righteousness is not to be promoted by studying sin and thinking about sin, and no one ever got rich by studying poverty and thinking about poverty. Medicine, as a science of disease, has increased disease. Religion, as a science of sin, has promoted sin. And economics, as a study of poverty, will fill the world with misery and lack. Do not talk about poverty. Do not investigate it or concern yourself with it. Never mind what its causes are. You have nothing to do with them. What concerns you is the cure. Do not spend your time in charitable work or charity movements. Charity only tends to perpetuate the wretchedness it aims to eradicate. I do not say that you should be hard-hearted or unkind and refuse to hear the cry of need, but you must not try to eradicate poverty in any of the conventional ways. Put poverty behind you and put all that pertains to it behind you and make good. Get rich. That is the best way that you can help the poor. And you cannot hold the mental image which is to make you rich if you fill your mind with pictures of poverty. Do not read books or papers which give circumstantial accounts of the wretchedness of the urban poor, or the horrors of child labor and so on. Do not read anything which fills your mind with gloomy images of want and suffering. You cannot help the poor in the least by knowing about these things, and the widespread knowledge of them does not tend to do away with poverty. What tends to do away with poverty is not the getting of pictures of poverty into your mind, but getting pictures of wealth into the minds of the poor. You are not deserting the poor in their misery when you refuse to allow your mind to be filled with pictures of that misery. Poverty can be done away with, but not by increasing the number of well-to-do people who think about poverty, but by increasing the number of poor people who intend, with faith and purpose, to get rich. The poor do not need charity. They need inspiration. Charity only sends them a loaf of bread to keep them alive in their misery, or gives them a diversion to make them forget for an hour or two. But inspiration will cause them to rise up out of their misery. If you want to help the poor, demonstrate to them that they can become rich. Prove it by getting rich yourself, and then show them how. The only way in which poverty will ever be banished from this world is by getting a large and constantly increasing number of people to practice the teachings of this book. People must be taught to become rich by creation, not by competition. Every person who becomes rich by competition throws down behind them the ladder by which they rose and keeps others down. But every person who gets rich by creation opens a way for thousands to follow and inspires them to do so. You are not showing hardness of heart or an unfeeling disposition when you refuse to pity poverty, see poverty, read about poverty, or think about it, or to listen to those who do talk about it. Use your willpower to keep your mind off the subject of poverty and to keep it fixed with faith and purpose on the vision of what you want. Chapter 10, Further Use of the Will. You cannot retain a true and clear vision of wealth if you are constantly turning your attention to opposing pictures, whether they be external or imaginary. Do not speak of your past troubles of a financial nature, if you have had them. Don't even think of them at all. Don't tell of the poverty of your parents or the hardship of your early life. To do any of these things is to mentally associate yourself with the poor for the time being, and it will certainly arrest the movement of things in your direction. Put poverty and all things that pertain to poverty completely behind you. You have accepted a certain theory of the universe as being correct and are resting all your hopes of happiness on its being correct. And what can you gain by giving heed to conflicting theories? Do not read religious books which tell you that the world is soon coming to an end, and do not read the writings of muckrakers and pessimistic philosophers who tell you that it's going to the devil. The world is not going to the devil. It is going to God. It is a wonderful work in progress. True, there may be many things in existing conditions which are disagreeable or far worse, but what is the use of studying them when they are certainly passing away, and when the study of them only tends to slow their passing and keep them with us? Why give time and attention to things which are being removed by evolutionary growth when you can hasten their removal only by promoting the evolutionary growth as far as your part of it goes? No matter how horrible seeming the conditions in certain countries, sections, or places may be, you waste your time and destroy your own chances by considering them. You should interest yourself in the world's becoming rich. Think of the riches the world is coming into instead of the poverty it is growing out of, and bear in mind that the only way you can assist the world in growing rich is by growing rich yourself through the creative method, not the competitive one. Give your attention wholly to riches. Ignore poverty. Whenever you think or speak of those who are poor, think and speak of them as those who are becoming rich, as those who are to be congratulated rather than pitied. Then they and others will catch the inspiration and will begin to search for the way out. Because I say you are to give your whole time and mind and thought to riches, it does not mean that you are to become sordid or mean. To become really rich is the noblest aim you can have in life, for it includes everything else. On the competitive plane, the struggle to get rich is a godless scramble for power over other men. But when we come into the creative mind, all that is changed. All that is possible in the way of greatness and soul development, of service and lofty endeavor, comes by way of getting rich. All is made possible by the use of things. If you lack for physical health, you will find that the attainment of it is conditional on your getting rich. Only those who are emancipated from financial worry and who have the means to live a carefree existence and follow healthful practices can have and retain a healthy life. Moral and spiritual greatness is possible only to those who are above the competitive battle for existence, and only those who are becoming rich on the plane of creative thought are free from the degrading influences of competition. If your heart is set on domestic happiness, remember that love flourishes best where there is refinement, a high level of thought, and freedom from corrupting influences, and these are to be found only where riches are attained by the exercise of creative thought, without strife or rivalry. You can aim at nothing so great or noble, I repeat, as to become rich, and you must fix your attention upon the mental picture of riches, to the exclusion of all that may tend to dim or obscure the vision. You must learn to see the underlying truth in all things. You must see beneath all seemingly wrong conditions the great one life ever moving forward toward fuller expression and more complete happiness. It is the truth that there is no such thing as poverty, that there is only wealth. Most people remain in poverty because they are ignorant of the fact that there is wealth for them. And these people can best be taught by showing them the way to affluence in your own person and practice. Others are poor because while they feel that there is a way out, they are too intellectually inactive to put forth the mental effort necessary to find a way and travel by it. And for these, the very best thing you can do is to arouse their desire by showing them the happiness that comes from being rightly rich. Others still are poor because, while they have some notion of science, they have become so swamped and lost in the maze of metaphysical and occult theories that they do not know which road to take. They try a mixture of many systems and fail in all. For these, again, the very best thing to do is to show the right way in your own person and practice. An ounce of doing things is worth a pound of theorizing. The very best thing you can do for the whole world is to make the most of yourself. You can serve God and man in no more effective way than by getting rich. That is, if you get rich by the creative method and not by the competitive one. Another thing, we assert that this program gives in detail the principles of the science of getting rich, and if that is true, you do not need to read any other book or program on the subject. This may sound narrow and egotistical, but consider, there is no more scientific method of computation in mathematics than by addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division. No other method is possible. There can be only one shortest distance between two points. There is only one way to think scientifically, and that is to think in the way that leads by the most direct and simple route to the goal. No one has yet formulated a briefer or less complex system than the one set forth here. It has been stripped of all non-essentials. When you commence on these, lay all others aside. Put them out of your mind altogether. Listen to this program every day. Keep it with you. Commit it to memory. If you get tired of it, take a break from it, but come back to it later. Each time you listen to it, you will gain something new or reinforce something which will help you in your quest. And do not think about other systems and theories. If you do, you will begin to have doubts and to be uncertain and wavering in your thoughts, and then you will begin to make failures. After you have made good and become rich, you may study other systems as much as you please, but until you are quite sure that you have gained what you want, do not read anything on this line but this book, unless it be the authors mentioned in the preface. and read only the most optimistic comments on the world's news, those in harmony with your picture. Also, postpone your investigations into the occult. Do not dabble in theosophy, spiritualism, or kindred studies. It is very likely that the dead still live and are near, but if they are, let them alone, mind your own business. Wherever the spirits of the dead may be, they have their own work to do and their own problems to solve, and we have no right to interfere with them. We cannot help them, and it is very doubtful whether they can help us, or whether we have any right to trespass upon their time if they can. Let the dead and the hereafter alone, and solve your own problems. Get rich. If you begin to mix with the occult, you will start a mental cross-current which will surely bring your hopes to shipwreck. Now, this and the preceding chapters have brought us to the following statement of basic facts. There is a thinking stuff from which all things are made, and which in its original state permeates, penetrates, and fills the interspaces of the universe. A thought in the substance produces the thing that is imaged by the thought. You can form things in your thought, and by impressing your thought upon formless substance can cause the thing you think about to be created. In order to do this, you must pass from the competitive to the creative mind. You must form a clear mental picture of the things you want, and hold this picture in your thoughts with the fixed purpose to get what you want and the unwavering faith that you do get what you want, closing your mind against all that may tend to shake your purpose, dim your vision, or quench your faith. In addition to all this, we shall now see that you must live and act in a certain way. Chapter 11, Acting in a Certain Way. Thought is the creative power, or the impelling force which causes the creative power to act. Thinking in a certain way will bring riches to you, but you must not rely upon thought alone, paying no attention to personal action. This is the rock upon which many otherwise scientific metaphysical thinkers meet shipwreck, the failure to connect thought with personal action. We have not yet reached the stage of development, even supposing such a stage to be possible, in which man can create directly from formless substance without nature's processes or the work of human hands. A person must not only think, but their personal action must supplement their thought. By thought, you can cause the gold in the hearts of the mountains to be impelled toward you, but it will not mine itself, refine itself, coin itself into double eagles, and come rolling along the roads, seeking its way into your pocket. Under the impelling power of the Supreme Spirit, people's affairs will be so ordered that someone will be led to mine the gold for you, other persons' business transactions will be so directed that the gold will be brought toward you, and you must so arrange your business affairs so that you may be able to receive it when it comes to you. Your thought makes all things, animate and inanimate, work to bring you what you want, but your personal activity must be such that you can rightly receive what you want when it reaches you. You are not to take it as charity, nor to steal it. You must give every person more in use value than they give you in cash value. The scientific use of thought consists in forming a clear and distinct mental image of what you want, in holding fast to the purpose to get what you want, and in realizing with grateful faith that you do get what you want. Do not try to project your thoughts in any mysterious or occult way with the idea of having it go out and do things for you. That is wasted effort and will weaken your power to think with sanity. The action of thought in getting rich is fully explained in the preceding chapters. Your faith and purpose positively impress your vision upon formless substance, which has the same desire for more life that you have. And this vision, received from you, sets all the creative forces at work in and through their regular channels of action, but directed toward you. It is not your part to guide or supervise the creative process. Your role is simply to retain your vision, stick to your purpose, and maintain your faith and gratitude. But you must act in a certain way so that you can appropriate what is yours when it comes to you, so that you can meet the things you have in your picture and put them in their proper places as they arrive. You can really see the truth of this. When things reach you, they will be in the hands of others, who will ask an equivalent for them. And you can only get what is yours by giving the other person what is theirs. Your pocketbook is not going to be transformed into a Fortunatus purse, which will always be full of money, without effort on your part. This is the crucial point in the science of getting rich, right here, where thought and personal action must be combined. There are very many people who consciously or unconsciously set the creative forces in action by the strength and persistence of their desires, but who remain poor because they do not provide for the reception of the thing they want when it comes. By thought, the thing you want is brought to you. By action, you receive it. Whatever your action is to be, it is evident that you must act now. You cannot act in the past, and it is essential to the clearness of your mental vision that you dismiss the past from your mind. You cannot act in the future, for the future is not yet here. And you cannot tell how you will want to act in any future contingency until that contingency arrives. Because you are not in the right business or the right environment now, do not think that you must postpone action until you get into the right business or environment. And don't spend time in the present thinking about the best course in possible future emergencies, but have faith in your ability to meet any emergency when it comes. If you act in the present with your mind on the future, your present action will be with a divided mind and will not be effective. Put your whole mind into present action. Do not give your creative impulses to original substance and then sit down and wait for results. If you do, you will never get them. Act now. There is never any time but now, and there will never be any time but now. If you are ever to begin to prepare for the reception of what you want, you must begin now. And your action, whatever it is, will most likely be in your present business or employment and must be upon the persons and things in your present environment. You cannot act where you are not. You cannot act where you have been. And you cannot act where you're going to be. You can only act where you are. Don't bother as to whether yesterday's work was done well or done poorly. Do today's work well. Don't do tomorrow's work today. There will be plenty of time to do that when you get to it. Don't try by occult or mystical means to act on people or things that are out of your reach. Don't wait for a change of environment. Before you act, get a change of environment by action. You can act upon the environment you're in now so as to cause yourself to be transformed to a better environment. Hold your faith and purpose, the vision of yourself in a better environment, but act upon your present environment with all your heart, and with all your strength, and with all your mind. Don't spend any time in daydreaming or castle building. Hold to the one vision of what you want and act now. Do not cast about seeking some new thing to do, or some strange, unusual, or remarkable action to perform as the first step towards getting rich. It is likely that your actions, at least for some time to come, will be those you have been performing for some time past, but you are to begin now to perform these actions in the certain way which will surely make you rich. If you are engaged in some business and feel that it is not right for you, do not wait until you get into the right business before you begin to act. Don't feel discouraged or sit down and lament because you are misplaced. No one was ever so misplaced that she could not find the right place, and no woman ever became so involved in the wrong business that she could not get into the right business. Hold the vision of yourself in the right business, with the expectation that you will get into it, and the faith that you are getting into it, but act in your present business. Use your present business or occupation as the means of getting a better one. Your vision of the right business, if held with faith and purpose, will cause the Supreme to move the right business towards you, and your action, if performed in a certain way, will cause you to move toward the business. If you are an employee or wage earner and feel that you must change places in order to get what you want, do not project your thought into space and rely upon it to get you another job. It will probably fail to do so. Hold the vision of yourself and the job you want while you act with faith and purpose on the job you have, and you will certainly get the job you want. Your vision and faith will set the creative force in motion to bring it towards you, and your action will cause the forces in your own environment to move you toward the place you want. In closing this chapter, we will add another statement to our syllabus. There is a thinking stuff from which all things are made, and which in its original state permeates, penetrates, and fills the interspaces of the universe. A thought in this substance produces the thing that is imaged by the thought. You can form things in your thought, and by impressing your thoughts upon formless substance can cause the things you think about to be created. In order to do this, you must pass from the competitive to the creative mind. You must form a clear mental picture of what you want and hold this picture in your thoughts with the fixed purpose to get what you want and the unwavering faith that you do get what you want, closing your mind to all that may tend to shake your purpose, dim your vision, or quench your faith. In order to receive what you want when it comes, you must act now upon the people and things in your present environment. Chapter 12, Efficient Action. You must use your thought as directed in previous chapters and begin to do what you can do where you are, and you must do all that you can do where you are. You can advance only by being larger than your present place, and no one is larger than their present place who leaves undone any of the work pertaining to that place. The world is advanced only by those who more than fill their present places. If no one quite filled their present place, you can see that there would be no progress in anything. Those who do not quite fill their present places are a dead weight upon society, government, commerce, and industry. They must be carried along by others at a great expense. The progress of the world is impeded only by those who do not fill their present places. No society could advance if everyone was smaller than their place. Social evolution is guided by the law of physical and mental evolution. In the animal world, evolution is caused by excess of life. When an organism has more life than can be expressed in the functions of its own plane, it develops the organs of a higher plane, and a new species is originated. There never would have been new species had there not been organisms which more than filled their places. The law is exactly the same for you. Your getting rich depends upon applying this principle to your own affairs. Every day is either a successful day or a day of failure, and it is the successful days which get you what you want. If every day is a failure, you can never get rich, while if every day is a success, you cannot help but get rich. If there is something that may be done today and you don't do it, you have failed insofar as that thing is concerned, and the consequences may be more disastrous than you imagine. You cannot foresee the results of even the most trivial act. You do not know the workings of all the forces that have been set moving on your behalf. Much may depend on your doing some simple act. It may be the very thing which will open the door of opportunity to very great possibilities. You can never know all the combinations which supreme intelligence is making for you in the world of things and of human affairs. Your neglect or failure to do some small thing may cause a long delay in getting you what you want. So do every day all that can be done that day. There is, however, a limitation or a qualification of the above that you must take into account. You are not to overwork, nor to rush blindly into business affairs in the effort to do the greatest possible number of things in the shortest possible time. You are not to try to do tomorrow's work today, nor to do a week's work in a day. It is really not the number of things you do, but the efficiency of each separate action that counts. Every act is, in itself, either a success or a failure. Every act is, in itself, either effective or inefficient. Every inefficient act is a failure, and if you spend your life in doing inefficient acts, your whole life will be a failure. The more things you do, the worse for you, if all your acts are inefficient ones. On the other hand, every efficient act is a success in itself, and if every act of your life is an efficient one, your whole life must be a success. The cause of failure is doing too many things in an inefficient manner and not doing enough things in an efficient manner. You will see that it is a self-evident proposition that if you do not do any inefficient acts, and if you do a sufficient number of efficient acts, you will become rich. Now, if it is possible for you to make each act an efficient one, you can see again that acquiring riches is reduced to an exact science. The matter turns then on the question of whether you can make each separate act a success in itself, and this you can certainly do. You can make each act a success because all power is working with you and all power cannot fail. Power is at your service. To make each act efficient, you have only to put power into it. Every action is either strong or weak, and when every action is strong, you are acting in a certain way which will make you rich. Every act can be made strong and efficient by holding your vision while you are doing it and putting the whole power of your faith and purpose into it. This is the point where people fail who separate mental power from personal action. They use the power of the mind in one place and at one time, and they act in another place and at another time. So their acts are not successful in themselves. Too many of them are inefficient. But if all power goes into every act, no matter how commonplace, every act will be a success in itself, and as in the nature of things, every success opens the way to other successes. Your progress towards what you want and the progress of what you want towards you will become increasingly rapid. Remember that successful action is cumulative in its results. Since the desire for more life is inherent in all things, when a person begins to move toward larger life, more things attract themselves to him, and the influence of his desire is multiplied. So do every day all that you can do that day, and do each act in an efficient manner. In saying that you must hold your vision while you are doing each act, however trivial or commonplace, I do not mean to say that it is necessary at all times to see the vision distinctly to its smallest details. It should be the work of your leisure hours to use your imagination on the details of your vision and to contemplate them until they are firmly fixed upon your memory. If you wish speedy results, spend practically all your spare time in this practice. By continuous contemplation, you will get the picture of what you want, even to the smallest details, so firmly fixed upon your mind and so completely transferred to the mind of formless substance that in your working hours, you need only to mentally refer to that picture to stimulate your faith and purpose and cause your best effort to be put forth. Contemplate your picture in your leisure hours until your consciousness is so full of it that you can grasp it instantly. You will become so enthused with its bright promises that the mere thought of it will call forth the strongest energies of your whole being. Let us again repeat our syllabus, and by slightly changing the closing statements, bring it to the point we have now reached. There is a thinking stuff from which all things are made, and which in its original state permeates, penetrates, and fills the interspaces of the universe. A thought in this substance produces the thing that is imaged by the thought. You can form things in your thought, and by impressing your thought upon formless substance, you can cause the thing you think about to be created. In order to do this, you must pass from the competitive to the creative mind. You must form a clear mental picture of the things you want and do with faith and purpose all that can be done each day, doing each separate thing in an efficient manner. This is the end of side 3. Please fast forward the tape to the end to cue up side 4.